Well, ladies and men that went to your different retreats and events, we're going to have some testimonies in a short moment. I just want to tell you that I did not want to go to this men's retreat. I had too long a list of stuff to do, and for me to go was like not convenient. Anybody ever been involved in ministry and discovered it's not convenient? Yeah, no kidding. Not only that, they're calling for rain for the whole weekend. We had a list of 13 that got down to 5, and off we went in the drizzle, and we got there, and this box of a cabin that we were in, they had about 5 cots in the size of a large bathroom, 2 rooms like that, and the mattresses were just as these plastic little things like that. And you had to bring your own sleeping bag, and there was no heat in the place. And it smelled like, well, I don't know, we tried musty, whatever it was. You everybody had an old trailer or something shut up forever? And so we're getting in there, and my mind is just responding to all the stuff. It's drizzly, it's rainy, and all that stuff. And I thought, I just got to get through. Just so many more hours. Just, you know. I took all the candy bars from that the girls brought back that they didn't eat and threw them in the bag. It was a good thing because there's no place to get a snack or anything. We just threw them out on the counter. The stove didn't work. There was no fridge, no microwave, and wham, wham, wham. So, Pastor Whiny Baby. And so we get there, and I'm about ready to fall asleep on the evening thing, and I was doing my best to keep my eyes open, and he started talking about the covenant. And it was good. Man, it was strengthening and strong. And their praise and worship went on, I bet, a long time. Have you ever heard about 60 men sing to one guitar? Oh, wow. It just surrounded you. It was amazing. I just like to park myself in the middle of that. But we got to the point where then the next morning came and we got up, and of course everybody's up early and breakfast is until 8:15. And we get there, and then we have our morning session, and blew the lid off my life. I'm thinking, I said afterwards, I would have slept in a wet tent just to get and sit in there and receive the information that was delivered. Life-changing. I would have slept in a tarp and wrapped up and just sit there all night if I knew what I was going to receive the next day. Life changing. And it was about repentance. And you go, well, really? Yeah. How'd you like to put that down on a men's retreat, repentance? Yeah, I'll sign up for that. Anybody heard of Rick Joyner? A lot of you have. When we were having what they called the Laughing Revival from 1993 to the year 2000, those 7 years, what an enjoyment that was. He wrote an article that said, after the laughter, it made me mad. I wanted that revival just to explode and go on. And this was in the middle of it. And he said, oh, by the way, this is not the final revival and it's going to end. And I was going, no! I don't want it to end. So he wrote this article, after the laughter, after this revival is over. And so people challenged him and said, how do you know this is not the last one? He said, because the last revival of all mankind is going to be based on 2 things, love and repentance. Now, laughter was refreshing. But when he said love and repentance, I'm looking at that thinking a positive and a negative, not realizing that it was a positive. Which one do you think was a positive? And a super positive. Something that would deliver the goods. That love was going to be the motive, but the delivery of this revival was going to. And I thought, no, because we've all heard about repentance. Some of you grew up Catholic. Some of you have thought that you have to drag yourself to the altar and through broken glass, you know, uphill both ways to school, that you had to work your way and feel horribly, terribly bad to get anything to happen. And instead, it is the one thing that's going to deliver the goods and launch you into a better life and a higher life quickly. Not only was repentance a good word, it was a fantastic word, and not like you think it means. Not groveling, feeling horrible, guilty, shame, or having to go through a long process, or, oh no, I could never do it because I know my own flesh, I know my own thoughts. Nothing like that. It was turnaround, life-changing. So if we have time, I'll tell you a little bit about it. And you'll like it. You say, I'll sleep in a wet tent and get to hear that. But I think we can shorten down a couple hours to a couple minutes. And if you see the brilliance and the light of it and the revelation of it and start doing it, you'll get some instant results in your life. You'll get things that you thought were, when is it ever going to happen, turning around, and it'll put your life on more high-speed internet. Hallelujah. But first, before I talk to you about what I got, that was just kind of a tip-off on what I wanted to speak about for a couple minutes, I want to get some testimonies of the ladies or the men's, if they came prepared to share about what they went through. Because some of the ladies said it was life-changing, but I didn't get any details on that. So I would like to offer the mic available to whoever wants to be first. Debbie does? Okay. Yep. Now here's the rule. Don't be Shelley. Be Gary. Shelly does this with a mic. She played an airplane. So, and Gary doesn't. Gary plays ice cream cone.
So it was a glorious trip. And I was kind of new to the church, and when I heard about the trip, I knew I was supposed to go. Didn't know how I was going to work out the finances or anything, but I just knew from the Lord, so I signed up. It was really cool. It was really cool to go with Shelley. I was able to learn about the roots of our church, and going to Rhema was really cool. Going with Shelley was really wonderful because she was our tour guide. She knew all the fun hot spots all the way down and all the way up. It was a long trip, but it was a good trip. So we went to some stores, and we went to wonderful restaurants, and then we went to Oral Roberts, and that was really cool to be on their campus and just know all that happens there in the Lord. So I guess the most important thing, there was so much great teaching. We were just splashing and bathing the whole time in so much rich, rich teaching. But the one for me that stood out the most is about relationships. And we talk about our vertical relationship with the Lord all the time, but how important the horizontal relationships are, and even to the point of needing to hear the Lord in each other, and that God deposits things in each other for us to receive. And I just wanted to thank Larry. Where'd you go, Larry? His patience with all these women. Oh, my. He was our guardian angel. Anyways, we were travel weary, and lots of emotions come up. And I learned, being new in the church, about a lot of the personalities in the church here. But through it all, our bonds, I know, are stronger. And I'm thankful for this. Thankful for that God knit us together on this trip. And thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I was doing counseling at Oral Roberts. I worked for him for a couple of years, and I worked in the drug and alcohol groups. And if you've ever done group counseling, you realize they go through phases of growth. There's five different levels of group counseling. And usually they take the better part of a year or two to get through. And one thing you learn in group counseling is that the early first stage in the first month has this interaction at a very surface level. And very rarely do you ever get to the point of conflict, which is stage two, in a group situation, that they work through their stuff. And when they would do it, the groups would think that they had failed somehow, that it was coming apart. And I was watching saying, they're going to the next level. They're reaching the next level. They're learning about relationships. And at that level, the surface stops. And now it's the submission, humility, back and forth, help you, and all that. And you go to levels even in growth in churches. And when you see that begin to happen, it's not all bad and all negative. When that begins to happen, you realize that, okay, now we have the first chance to know how to walk in love and get to know each other better. You can't go to the next level of 3, 4, and 5 until you pass through level 1 and 2. Rarely do you ever get there. And when you go off on trips or road trips or stuff like that, you find out about different people. They do different things. They stay in the bathroom longer. They brush their teeth different. They snore. They're really loud. And the ladies do too. They already know that. But you get to know each other, and you're bumping into each other. And after a while, when you get through those phases, you do have that. You have a strength that living together provides that just occasionally running into each other does not. And it's the levels of relationships that help us mature. Praise God. So part of that deal is learning to live with one another, and that's a good thing. So when I would see that happen, and I'd watch it, and I'm thinking, these guys want more. They want the next level. And so I would encourage them to just keep learning each other and going on from there. So praise God. Next person. Got two. Ladies first.
I really learned patience. On the trip, you know, you've got all these women in the truck going down, or the van, and all the chatter. I don't know how Larry's ears must hurt. But the one thing that really touched me was the prayer school that Shelley took us to, and then she took us to the healing school. She took us to the prayer school and then healing school, and both of them were dynamite. I didn't want to leave. I just wanted to stay there. And the one thing that I noticed in Broken Arrow was the people and the Spirit of God was just all over that town. That town has a prayer covering over it. It's just amazing. But in the healing school, they called up people up for prayer, and I sat in my seat. And I went, I don't have my walker. I'm not going to go up. And then Larry was getting to go and to the van, and we were getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden I went, no, I'm letting Satan steal from me, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. And so I went up for prayer, and my healing had started already prior to leaving for the trip, and I didn't even realize it, because as Ernie knows, if we go on a two-hour trip, my back is so bad I can't stand it, and the next day I'm flat out. I can't do anything. And how many hours did we spend in that van? I mean, 10 hours? 13, 14 hours. It was a long trip. And my back didn't bother me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so that was the first. But then when I got prayed for at prayer, healing school, I didn't think much about it. And the next day, we're at church that evening, and I'm praising God. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, I can lift my hands up without having saying, Ernie, put your arms around me, hold me up, because I don't have balance. My balance is always off. So I could do that. Then when I got home, before I got home, I noticed I went, I can twist from side to side. And I was like, without losing my balance. And Ernie knows, if I twist to the side, down I go if I don't have something to hang on to. And so my healing's taken place. I still have some ways to go. But I noticed God's taken it on layers with me. And probably if he did it all at one time, I probably wouldn't have been able to handle it. You know, I was praying about that, and I went, Lord, could have I handled it? And I went, no, I couldn't have handled it all if he just totally healed me right then and there, you know. And I don't know why that is, but it's like an onion. He's taken me out in layers. But the healing process, I mean, that was wonderful. And then on Friday night, we're in another meeting during praise and worship. All of a sudden, I get this tap on my back. And I turn around, and there's this young lady there, and she says, I got the weirdest message for you. And I went, okay. And she goes, I don't even know if I should give it to you, but it's from God. I says, well, then give it to me. And she says, the Lord told me to tell you that you've been walking around, and your feet feel like you have two bricks on each foot. And I was like, oh, my God, that is how my feet feel, like I'm walking with bricks. And she says, you're supposed to yell no more. And I'm supposed to yell it with you. So we're sitting there yelling, no more, no more, no more. And I notice my feet don't feel like bricks anymore. So and you saw her hand up.
No, you go next, then Mike will be after you.
The opening ceremony at Kindle the Flame was Lynette Hagen, and suddenly she was on the screen, and she had turned into Wonder Woman. And it really caught me by surprise. And when that film ended, there was Wonder Woman about right there, standing there in the full garb of Wonder Woman. And that was how she opened. And it was about how to handle being a super chickie, a Christian super chickie. And the things that she does to keep herself in God. And the next speaker, I can't remember. No, it was. She talked about relationships. And the thing that I got from the whole thing is that if you're not like this, this is your vertical relationship with God, and this is your horizontal relationship with people. You don't have it because you can't go it alone here on earth. And when you've been burned and hurt, this part of it sometimes I think is more challenging than the vertical relationship with God because he's all loving. And every speaker that spoke built on that. That's holy ground down there, as Linda said. It's a very special place, and I'm thinking, they're building all of these Rhema colleges over in other countries. Why aren't they doing one in Wisconsin? It was a beautiful trip, and I'm so grateful that I got to go. You know, it was definitely a privilege, and if that comes up again and I can go, I'm going to go. And we've got wonderful teachers here.
If somebody goes to Door County and brings back 20 pounds of fudge and then starts handing it out, do you feel that you need to go to Door County? As long as I got 20 pounds of, I don't have 20 pounds of fudge right now, but they can, is there a treat after this? No, but the deal is that if you can deliver, and we've got healings, faith and healing classes on Monday nights, and you think, why would you just went to church on Sunday? Why would you go back on Monday? It's totally different on Monday night. It's a healing and teaching atmosphere, different than preaching. Different. We don't go through a lot of the praise and worship service or passing the offering or doing announcements or anything like that. It's a whole different purpose. We're getting about, on an average of 15 to 20 people showing up on a Monday night and getting things that I can't fit it all in on a Sunday morning sermon. And so the people that show up on Monday night are realizing, wow, this is stuff that, that I need to function on, but how would we fit it all in? And so if you're looking for also something more, we've got the women's group going on once a month now, but if you're looking for another weekly thing, and I know some of you are even considering starting some small group Bible studies, anything to get the Word of God to the next level. But the issue is that we put out what was given to us the best we can, and then we go. We all also go to these different events in Raymond, go back and fill up again, and keep moving forward with that. Praise God. Mike, you want to come up? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah, when you get invited or you're asked to go to something that you've never encountered before, you don't know what to expect. So you kind of have a apprehensive feeling in your heart. But at the same time, being a believer, being saved, knowing Jesus is in your heart, and having so many amazing things go on since the time that you truly accepted Christ into your life, you know that this is for you. So you take that step of faith and go for it. And the first thing this guy does when he comes in is he starts realizing that he's in Wisconsin and he's surrounded by all these hunters and fishing guys and farmers. So he wants to get on their level of thought. And he asks how many guys out there are hunters. And like there's 50 guys in the room and 48 of them put their hands up. So he talks about getting dialed in. And he says that, you know, when you turn the scope, you're looking to see more precisely what you're after. So his concept right away was that dialed in action means that you don't have squirrel syndrome. You know, one second you're thinking, okay, tomorrow I need to wash my truck and take care of the laundry and then, you know, study my Bible, and then all these other things come at you, and the things that you pre-set up, you can't stay dialed in on it. And it's an attack, is how he put it. And what happens is when you're under attack, you have your words, and they're where your power comes from. And if you watch your words and you think before you speak, like we teach our children at an early age, then we possess the power that we get from God through the covenant, and that we can stay focused on the task ahead. And the task ahead is to keep reading the Bible. He kept asking everybody, you guys read this book? It's a good book. And all the things that he was teaching us, we've heard since Sunday school and through going to church. But the way that he presented it, he tied, as a lot of us have had it happen in our lives, the Old Testament and the New Testament together, and made the connection so heartfelt and so personal that he was looking for action and reaction from everybody who was in the room, but they were so dialed in and focused on listening to him that they just wanted to listen instead of respond. And there was a few guys that had seen this gentleman before, and they were fired up, and they were, you know, praising constantly, and they had their praise and worship on like the minute they walked in the door, and they were hugging everybody before they left. And it was just great because this guy had vibrance. He had true power from God. He had real love for the Lord. He had honesty in his heart. He made his motives clear. And his motive was that if you get right with God, things happen in your life a lot faster than you realize they could happen. And that what most people are doing is they're believing that things are going to happen in their life, but they're putting them off to give God time to take care of other people. And what he was trying to say is that God's got it handled for everyone in an instant, and that you don't have to wait and say, you know, can this be in your time, or when it's in your time. He used the word speedily, and he had fabulous testimonies about wonderful things that happened in his life once he changed his grasp on how fast God will answer your prayers if they're earnestly, honestly from your heart. And then he was, you know, all about having everybody pray with him and get behind him, and him get behind other people. But he really had a way of expressing that good things are going to happen to you because you're on the right track with the right guy, and that it's real. So when you got 50 people who have need, there's all kinds of things going on with everybody, and you could really grasp that they were ready to just, number one, do what he had expressed, and that was like the pastor mentioned, that if you have things that are upsetting in your life, or you've made trouble, or you've done things that were awful, and you get by yourself and repent. And after this part of the sermon, the fellas disappeared on me, and they went out to check out Devil's Lake, which they're right now trying to change the name, which is pretty cool. There's a petition to give it a spirit name. But they disappeared, and I wound up by myself amongst 180 camps. And I realized that I was here before. And as a kid, my mom and dad sent me to the Youth Service Bureau. And one of the places that we went as a group was to Devil's Lake. And we stayed at a campground. And I think it was the same place. And what happened was, is at one of the moments I walked out, I looked through this glass door and I saw this gymnasium, and there was a rock climbing wall. And I remember as a kid climbing that wall. And it was like, wow, you know? I got to go here when I was little. And I took a walk across to Devil's Lake, and we looked at all the wonderful people, couples and children, and the people who were running the event. And there was a couple of kids, and they were going to get in this canoe. And the one guy was paranoid, and they were trying to talk him into it. And they're like, you know, you just got to step out into the boat and then walk to the back and turn around and sit down. And he's like, no, I can't get in that boat. And they were like trying to convince him to get in the boat, you know. And pretty soon, he broke his little bit of fear, and he got in the boat. And then he got out in the water, and the guy in the back of the boat had to be a smarty and start rocking it. He's like, no, don't rock the boat. And then the next thing you know, they started splashing each other, and he started paddling, and the smile came across his face, and the fear was gone, and off they went to canoe for the first time in his life. And what it shows is that if you take that moment in your life and you walk out and you know that there's something holding you back from repenting for what is troubling in your life, and you finally say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done, the things that you've done will come up and you can express them deeper. You got to open your mouth. You got to get out in the field somewhere by yourself and let it go. And once you do, you're going to wake up with peace. When the guys disappeared, I went to the picnic table and I repented. And, you know, you break down, and one of the other pastors walked by and he's like, you did it, didn't you? You know, caught me right away. And I got a hug from the fella, you know, and we got to talk for a couple of minutes. And, you know, it's just amazing that there's all these guys in a room you'd never met in your life, and they love you automatically, and they care about what's going on in your life and the circumstances you're going through, and they don't expect it, but they appreciate the fact that you do the same for them, and that they're all there for the same thing, and that's to grasp onto God just a little deeper, learn a little more, and find out another way to enjoy their journey on the way to get their hug from Jesus. And it was really special. It was really cool. They had a fabulous place, and there was young people who did the camp part of it, and they served us the food, and they took care of everything, and there were smiles on their faces, and they were enjoying that part of it. And so, yeah, that was a great, great, I'm glad I was invited, and I'd do it in a split second. Bless God.
Hallelujah. We looked for you, but you were talking. Where's Mike? I said, he's talking to somebody. Don't know when he's going to be. So it was right before lunch, so we slipped down to the lake. You went down to the lake later, didn't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Dodging rain drops. Did you have something to share? Yeah, Todd.
Well, I have to confess, I was like pastor before I left. I got a farm, and I've got like a kajillion jobs, and I even had to justify, I had to tune up my log splitter before I left. Like God would say, okay, you tuned up your log splitter, now you can go on this retreat, you know. And but that's the way we get our mindset, and that's the way we get our thinking going. And I would have sat under a bush with a garbage bag over my head all night because of the understanding, and it gives me a different perspective on how I read the Bible and the agreements, the covenants. It's pretty amazing, because in the old, and what was nice about Chip Brim is Billy Brim's son, and they have the access to Israel and to the priests and to the true meaning of the old covenants. And in the old covenants, is the promises start out and agreements would be exchanged. And a covenant is nothing more than a legal agreement. And then they get the heifer, and they prepare the heifer, and they slaughter the heifer, which is the blood. And then they exchange coats. And that means that your house is my house, and my house is your house. Then they exchange weapons. And they say that my armies are your armies, and your armies are my armies, so they have force. And then they go ahead, and then they exchange the blood, and the priest would walk in a figure eight through the blood, which means infinity or forever. And then they would go ahead, and then they would announce their loyalty, and they would announce their loyalty to death. So when we come across, and the old, he's saying that when you look into the Old Testament and the New Testament is the same, because when Christ brings the new covenant, all those properties and things are fulfilled. And we have that. And we go through the New Testament, and he's talking about, Jesus is talking about commitment, and he's talking about many things and how we, and these legal terms like advocate and adversary. An adversary is an accuser. And I was getting the terminology mixed up, and that, and he straightened out the difference between adversary and advocate. God is our advocate. And the adversary is actually a legal term, which means that I have an offense It's documented. It's proof. It's not like, well, I seen somebody do this kind of, you know. Otherwise, these courts would be filled with accusations. But it's proof positive that they have, and the adversary is known as the devil, and the devil is known as the accuser. And he just doesn't go to God and say, well, I have these thoughts that somebody may have done something. It's proof positive. This is what I've got over someone. And that's what he brings to God. And God is sitting and he's in a judge. And I thought, well, wait a second here. You know, I'm thinking about all this legalism and judge and damnation and finger pointing and all this type of stuff. And he says, no. He says, take that away. And he also says that God is on the throne and he's judging, but he's a just judge. And with his love and with his kindness and his mercy and his blessings and walking in the blessings, and that God is sitting over here, you have the devil, which is the accuser, and he's saying, you know, all these accusations and that, and he brought up situations like Job. And how he was accused and this. And the main thing is repentance. See, we don't have to repent. What hit my mind is we get to repent. And that's pretty powerful, because what happens is that when we repent and we go through things, things change in our life, and it changes speedily. And when we go into God's court, it's a holy court. And you don't go in with condemnation, judgment, accusing. You don't go into these things. You come in with a pure heart, and then you can enter God's court. And when you enter into God's court, God, and if I can mimic the man, he's going, oh, here comes my kid, you know, here comes my kid, he's coming into court, yay, you know, and the devil is there, and he's standing there, and he's the accuser. And when the repentance start, and repentance is action, you know, and when you go through those things, then the power starts, then the healing starts. Then the breakthroughs in finances start. Many things start. And that's what I'm getting out of this. And I ordered the CDs because it's just like, oh, you know, you got hit with a lot of things. And I need to listen to this over and over and over again, because he brought up in the Old Testament, he brought up, you know, definitions and things. And it's from the Hebrew and from the Greek and the Hebrew and from scholars. This isn't just, you know, some kind of message like read your Bible. And, you know, I got there and I thought, if a guy comes out in army fatigues and starts yelling at me and tells me to climb a rope, I'm going to tell him, you know, he can go climb too, you know, someplace else. But, you know, once he started, you know, I was understanding what some of this meant. And it's the forgiveness. And the other part was the filling, the continual filling of your heart and your mind and your soul to stay in that covenant with God. Because as soon as we step out of the covenant of God and we think of something else, it breaks our power, it breaks the covenant with God. You're not in the court of God, you're in the court of the accuser, and then things happen. And the other thing on a personal level that happened was we were eating breakfast the one morning, and here's this kind of scrawny young kid. He comes, and all of a sudden, you know, we were sitting down there, and all of a sudden I look, and there's this kid. He showed up. I don't know where he came from, and he's sitting there, and he was a young kid, and he was nervous. I could, you know, he was just with his words and things like that, you know, And God says, befriend him. And I started talking to this young man. And he was there and he was all just, you know, he was nervous at everything, you know, and talking and speech, and befriend him and talk to him. So I'm talking to him and that, and I says, oh, there was a session where, can you go paintballing? He says, oh, I'd like to go. He says, but I don't have enough money. I'm $3 short. I think it was like $20, you know. So the guys that I was with, they're all standing up reaching for their wallet, including me, you know. And this kid, he's sitting there, you know, and Mike says, well, a buck a piece ought to do it, ain't it? You know, and so we're all, you know, we give him this $3, you know. And I seen that kid go from just this nervous kind of kid that was he's very new in Christ, and he'd raise his hand and then he'd look around to see if anybody was looking to him while he was singing, you know, one of those very conscious type of a kid. So he goes out and we give him the $3, you know, and he goes out with this, I go get him, Tiger, you know, and they were talking about that with the dialed in and all that with the military. They went and how they reduced the amount of shots and bullets and all that he was talking about. And the one terminology was in prior wars was you spray and pray, you know, when you're in war. And then it went from spray and pray to one shot, one kill. And that was what he's talking about with dialed in. And what are you, when you're reading the Bible, what are you actually really looking at? So we send this kid out. He's all pumped. You know, he's ready to grab the paintball and just, you know, go wild out there, you know. And he says, I got my camo. And he says, I'm going to go in this grass over here, you know. And I says, are you going to spray and pray or are you going to go in one shot, one kill? And he says, well, I started out with the one shot, one kill, and then I wound up with spray and pray, he says. So, but I was just kind of talking to him and all that, and all of a sudden I seen him melting and melting, and I didn't understand what was all going to happen later on, because he goes ahead and he's asking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and this kid pops up, and he's up in the front. And he's up there, and all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of standing there, and he's, you know, looking around to see if anybody's going to go, you know, what are you doing up there? You know, go sit down, you know. And he was real nervous and all that, and Chip started praying over him, and all of a sudden you can just see him change. And the Holy Spirit came on him, and he did a pastor thing. He went, woo! And he goes, he started really moving around, and by the end of the retreat, I mean, I gave him a big hug, and he took off, and he's hugging other guys. And he goes, man, this is great. So, and what it was it's not about me. It's what do I get out of this, or, you know, me and my situation and all this type of stuff, you know. It's no matter where we go, you know, the reaching and the power of God is tremendous. So it's not about us.
Bless God.
Hallelujah. Bless God. Somebody got something else? Nancy, come on up. Testimony time, by the word of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Oh, gee, sounds like more than one person that didn't want to go. Pastor Shelley's like looking at me a couple different times, and after a while she's like making it sound like I'm already going, and I'm going home and I'm like, Lord, I never said, you know, I put out this fleece and he did answer that, you know, I did the Gideon thing. So I was like the child, didn't want to go, and the mama's dragging the child by the hand. That's what I saw the Lord. He's like, come on, come on, come on, come on, this is good stuff for you. So, anyways, I'd have to say, concerning the meetings, they were all really important, but the one that moved me the most was the last meeting, because we took time to pray for our country, and they did it with such respect, and they had candles everywhere, since Lynette is a big candle lady. She lights them in her home every day. And they had poles on all the pews on each end of the pew, and he had candles up front, and then they brought the flag. And, oh, every time I see the flag like that, anyway, I just break down. And she said to the person, make sure the flag doesn't touch the floor. It should never touch the ground. And it was just, I had such admiration for her. Well, I did beforehand, but when during that service, and she said, and you can turn your pew into your altar, you can come up front and do what you want. And there were some Hispanic ladies behind, right behind us. And there were some of them that were just crying. They were weeping and weeping and weeping. It was so powerful because we too need to spend time praying for our country. God hears our prayers. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Don't just turn your back on it. Don't focus so much on and your ears and your eyes on what you're seeing here, but who is the one that we serve? He's the mighty God. He's the all-powerful God. And it was just so moving. It's in my heart forever. I did. I knelt down, and we must have prayed, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes. I don't know. And I was on my knees and just weeping and weeping and weeping. And then, especially, like if that wasn't hard enough already, then they came and they, you know, we each had our candles, you know, we're getting ready to light them. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to hold this candle, Lord Jesus? You know, oh my goodness. And then she says, now we're going to sing America or something like that, right? I'm thinking, oh yeah, I can do that. I wept through the whole song. I mean, I know almost all the patriotic songs that we sing by heart. But I mean, and then what? Then they sang, they played the song, Go Light Your Candle. Run to the darkness. Oh, my gosh. It was just such a moving thing for me. I'll never forget it. I just won't. And I thank God for taking me by the hand and taking me there. And I thank God for this lady. Pastor Shelley, please come up here. Please. I know you want to. You've been waiting the whole time. Oh. Don't leave yet. Now, I think that some of her African people, we all have our people, call her Mama Shelley, don't they? Wow, wow, wow. She has that sign written on her forehead. I don't know if y'all can see that, but she is truly a mama. She is a wonderful mama, a wonderful lady. It was an honor to spend room with her, you know, share a room with her and Debbie, and had a wonderful time the last, Saturday morning. Oh, my goodness, that was powerful. Oh, I'm having trouble standing up here right now. That's why you're up here, Mama. Hold your child. Hold your daughter. Anyway, it was powerful. I was sitting there. I was awake, I don't know, before 5 o'clock, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there on the bed, and I just say, here am I, Lord. Send me. And I raised my hands, and I began to sing a song. Some of you might know it. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And then just the Lord just began to just, as I raised my hands, he began to, buckets of water streaming down my face. It wasn't my tears even. And I was crying and crying. Debbie, here's Debbie, you know, she's got to make sure everything's okay. And she comes over there, and here I am, you know, and my eyes are closed. She goes, Nancy, are you okay, Nancy, it's okay. And then I couldn't speak, and then she came back again later. I said, no, Debbie, it's okay, it's the Lord. Oh, okay. So And then he gave me the scripture, Psalms, what was it? Psalms 126, something about he who goes forth weeping will doubtless come again with joy, with song of joy, bringing their sheaves with them. Souls in tears. Yeah, it depends which version you're reading. Yeah. But yeah. And then next thing I know, then Pastor Shelley was, she had her banky over her head, and she's singing in tongues, and she's on the floor, and she's crying, and she tried to get up, and she fell over and had her special coconut water bottle in her hand. She fell over. She looked like a drunk on the floor, hanging on to her bottle. I just thank the Lord for this experience, a good trip with these ladies. Thank you, Larry. You, Uncle Larry, you get to be an uncle now. And he made me laugh so hard it didn't take much, but he really made me laugh. He probably thought, wow, why is she laughing so much? But anyway, I thank you, Lord, for this time in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, there, how are we doing on time? Ooh. There was so much, you know, just to put a little nutshell here and there, just a little bit out. It was just an amazing time in God. And it just seems like the message body-wide is just continuous about who we are in Christ. It's just hammering that home, just trying to get us to realize the power of God within us and all that he's imparted in us so that we can go out, that we have the goods, every one of us. If you're born again and if you're spilled with the Spirit, you got the Spirit of God in you. We got what it takes. We're empowered by God, directed by him, and he's trying to get us out of ourselves. And that's what ministered to me a lot was, you know, sometimes when you're hurt, sometimes when people do different things in life, but sometimes what we do is we begin to withdraw and pull back from people. And we go through life and we can function and we do all everything that we're supposed to, but there's supposed to be a free flow one to another. And, you know, we all have something to give. We all have something to impart. And what you have might be exactly what I need. You know, thank you. But Nancy, when she came into that place of prayer, she brought in, through her heart of worship, just brought in the presence of God in a dynamic way. And it just helped me to just enter in. I mean, it was just like there's a supply of the Spirit. Each of us have a supply of the Spirit. And when we're bringing and giving place to what God has given us, it makes a way for other people. And it's just there's a functionality that we have as this body that we need to learn to respect one another, love one another, be patient with one another, give unto one another what we have in our hearts, and be believing God. Amen. Because it's not just for this little church in here, but once we go out, you know, it's just like we scatter. We're affecting the world round about us. We're supposed to take what we have, that light that we have, the gospel, the truth, the hope that we carry is supposed to affect a multitude of people. And God is getting us all ready. He's imparting to us and he's preparing us. And you know, the only trouble I have with even saying that is then we're always looking futuristically. He's getting us ready for something. But what about 2 minutes after you walk out that door? You know, let's not just put it off till something dynamic, God pours out something. Every step we take, he's supposed to be leading and directing our footsteps. He's taking us someplace every day of our life. So we should have an expectation for that.
But I realized in myself that, and I didn't realize how much, I had pulled back. It can function and do just fine. But the amount of love that I can give, the amount of myself that I can give, you know, every single one of us needs to be healed and whole. Every one of us. And sometimes we get upset with people and they're off the wall somewhere or another. But why? Why are they there? Hurting people hurt people. Amen? There's all of us have come through life and hit different experiences at work or with our families or just different things you hit in life, and it can hurt you. It can harm you. But God, amen, is the healer. And he wants every one of us whole. He came that we'd all rise up to a place where we're whole, we're complete in him. And what we have is of great value. But we need to respect one another so that we give place to one another. If I'm closed off, what I have, for whatever reason I'm closed off, or if you're closed off, you start withdrawing because somebody's rejected you or somebody isn't embracing what you have to say, or you start guarding yourself. Well, what's on the inside of you? What's on the inside of me? It's going to be very limitedly that we share of the wealth that's in us, and we all carry a wealth. There's a wellspring on the inside of us that's supposed to be bubbling forth and bringing forth life. And we got it. Amen. But we need to be patient with another. We need to begin to draw ourselves out one to another. Amen. Embrace one another. Trust one another. And if you're a button pusher, stop it. There's some people that just like to go around and push your buttons. Stop it. It's not fun. Nobody enjoys that. But just soothe over, love, embrace, comfort, encourage. Because we're all in this together, and we've got stuff in us. Every one of us, there's great talents and personalities and just different things that God's imparted into us, and we need to get that out. We need to develop that, and this should be a safe place where we're growing and developing in Christ so that when we go out, we're going out confidently. Amen? We're not guarding and we're not hurting, but we're coming up. Amen? And we didn't have smelly rooms at all. They were great. Good food. Yeah, it was cozy. Who didn't get to speak, Phil?
I would just reiterate what has all been said. But I would agree, I didn't have time to go, had other things going on. And
I think we can all relate. I thought, okay, I'm going to go for the weekend. I got to force myself to get along, and God does that. He makes us get around people that we get to be good friends, and we get to see life through their eyes. But so the covenant was really the main thrust. Chip talked about going into the courtroom, and the Lord is our judge, and when he sees us come in, and we repent. And the only way that we can lose in that courtroom is when we've given the devil an avenue to come in and say, well, Phil said he's got diabetes. No, I don't have diabetes. I have the symptoms, and I'm healed, and I'm whole. So just the connotation of a word, we need to really take those thoughts captive. And the accuser's defeated. I mean, it was done 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. And we just don't realize, understand the power that we have, that God's put in us, the day we accepted him and what he has for us. He's just good all the time. Amen. 50 men in worship, nothing like it. When people worship, God inhabits the praises.
Bless God. We're going to have right after I get done speaking, everybody look at their watches, it's 5 to 12. I'm going to tell you in 5 minutes something that will be so radically life-changing that if you do it, you'll be shocked at the difference in your life. And then after that, we're going to have the offering and we're going to go home or out to lunch or wherever we go. Here's the deal. Now, all the men were sharing things about the courtroom and the status, and we talked about repentance, and people react to that word as a negative word. That's the devil trying to define it for you. It's one of the best words you ever heard. He told us that Billy Brim in the original Hebrew, he talked about Rick Renner did. Rick Renner said that it has no emotional connection to it at all. Because the devil wants to make repentance all about guilt and shame and having to have to grovel or do something like that. And it doesn't. It's a legal word, a legal technicality that completely releases you. He says, nobody likes to go into court. And if you go into court, you don't want to look up and even see the judge. You're trying to think, do I call him sir? Do I say, Your Honor? I don't want to mess with this deal. Anybody ever here? I'm not going to raise your hands. If you've been to court, you don't want to be there. You want to be out of there, and you want a good judgment in your favor. And so if you're before the judge, it's like, okay, here I am. They've got this power over me. The word repentance simply means dealing. Of course, it means turn or change. But it has everything to do with forgive everyone else and forgive yourself. Get up there and just say, God, I forgive. Not based on any emotions, but just do it. No matter how you feel about them or anybody else, you repent by walking into the throne room of God. He has multiple roles, including the judge, and we've got an advocate, which means lawyer, in 1 John 2:1. Jesus Christ is our lawyer walking into court with us, and he says to the judge, Hi, Dad. And the judge says, Son, who are you representing today? But your job is this, go into the courtroom of God, because he's, instead of you wanting to not go into court, like, I don't even want to go in the door, I'm walking the hallways and everybody's got their lawyer and, okay, it's our turn, we got to walk in, and then you got to step forward and you're in front of the pew and railing and everything. He's the judge that says, come on, please come to court, rather than you're going, I just want to get out of here, I don't want to be there. He's pleading with us to come, because as soon as we step in and say, God, I repent, the devil's going to, of course, quickly say, what do you mean repent? How about the future? You know you're going to go back to that or do this or that or whatever. You don't stand before a judge and the judge says, what are we going to do about your future speeding tickets? No. Whether you're going to do anything in the future or not is not the issue. Repentance is not about the future. Repentance is about walking in to say, what am I going to do about this ticket? What am I going to do about this deal? And you go, I repent. Forgive me. And immediately, God places you in a position where you're completely covered. Have a nice day. It's all covered. You may go in peace. Completely. And you go, yeah, but I don't know about that. It's not about the future. It's not about a feeling. It's not about, well, you need to feel bad for a little while. If you just, repentance, you have to feel bad. If you haven't felt bad, a lot of people think, well, if I feel bad enough, then I'll repent. It's got zero emotion attached to it. It's a legal status, and every word we say has a legal status in the spirit realm. There, you have to use words for attacks to be open to you and to hold you in your position and your place. And you have to use words to cancel them out. But if you go in and you just say, I repent of the whole deal, God cancels every word you've ever spoken out on the spot as if they'd never been spoken at all. And that's why your bills can be paid and your relationships can be restored and your health can, that the healing that's already been paid for can come out, because you are clear and clean at the moment without having to deal with guilt and shame or future, or how am I going to do this? I've sinned 1,000 times in the same area. How do I know? I know myself. I don't. You're not dealing with that. You're completely restored at that moment as if nothing has ever, ever happened in your whole life. And you're quick to forgive one another. He talked about Mark 11:25. Anyone for anything, forgive. Talking about speaking to the mountain. Believe you have received and it will be yours. Speak to the mountain. But there's a thing about there. What is that forgiveness stuff? It's the repentance. Here's how you do it. Guilty. Forgive me. I repent. What else do I need to do? Nothing. If you add anything to it, it's self-righteousness. It's you trying to fix something, including trying to feel guilty or bad. When it's completely clean and gone, let's say you walked into court and they ripped up whatever it was, the speeding ticket, and says, you don't owe anything. Have a nice day, Pastor Sisk. I'm going out the door going, I like his court. What if every time you walked into his court, no charge is ever held against you? The problem is we don't want to go in the courtroom. We don't want to go before God, or we haven't felt bad enough, or we thought, well, he'll want me to just stop it and never do it again. Well, duh, yeah. But the issue is repentance isn't about the future. It's about the legal words that have been spoken that can be reversed right now in a moment of time. When you are quick to repent, how quickly are you restored? See, your righteousness was intact the whole time. And you go, well, I don't know, what do I do? What do I do? You do this. You simply open your mouth and say to God, forgive me, I repent of this thing I did, the things I can't even remember doing, the things that I repent of it all. God, we're okay with each other completely. And people get to repent. When they find out what repentance does for them, they will love it. They will love the word repent as much as they love the word love. They go, wow, we get to be in eternity in love. Did you know repentance is a legal status that's restored to you instantly at that moment? Not based on future, but based on that moment in time. At that moment in time, you walk away completely clear and clean, and that gives the avenues of supply to your life in every area on the spot that's been held back for months or years because your words were stout against you. They were held against you, and the moment of repentance cancels them out completely. So you are so free that you've never been that free before. That's why this judge wants to say, please come in. I'm pleading with you. Come to court. Walk in the door and say, I repent. What if I don't mean it? Say it. You really do mean it. Check your spirit. Yeah, don't ask your flesh. Don't ask your soul. Check your spirit. And you walk in and you say, I repent, God. And then watch how he changes things that were stuck in your life, how he changes them around, how quickly the things begin to happen in your life that you thought, well, when is it ever going to happen? Walk in the door and repent. Once people discover this, they'll be quick to repent at all times. Yeah.
What you're saying is really true, because I've been in relationships with men that have been really mean. And to try to trust God, because we think of God as a man, I was always closed off. Oh, God wouldn't do that for me. You know, God can't do that for me. And I did get to that point where you have to say either you trust God or you don't trust God. And since I've come to that church, I've been working on that. And since I've come to the repentance and saying, okay, Lord, I want to trust you, my healing has started. Amen. And so, I mean, it's, you've got to trust God in order to have even the repentance, you know, because you've got to get to that point where you can say, I truly trust God to take over my life. And until you get to that point, those healings aren't going to take place. The repentance can't take place because you've got it all bottled up.
It wouldn't be mercy if you deserved it. It's only mercy because you don't. You walk in and you don't have to spend much time in court. God isn't interested in you in groveling or spending 3 hours in court. He wants you in, declare your intentions, ask for forgiveness, say, I repent, and he say, you're free to go have a great life. Okay? Quick to repent. Quick to repent. As soon as you realize something's happened, go, oh, God, I repent of that. Sorry, God. I repent. Completely clean and clear. And then things in your life that were held back or turned around, the bottled up, the stopped up wells, the issues, they will speedily come forth. Hallelujah.
We pray, Father God, that you'd be magnified and glorified through each life represented here. Have your way. Father, we desire to walk with you intimately and to bring glory and honor unto your name and to shine brightly for your glory. So have your way in the lives of these people this week. In Jesus' name, amen.